The highlight of any church service is what God is doing, the Holy Spirit. One of the highlights today is what God's doing in this young man who's before me, Ken Verhicke. We're excited to have him with us. Years ago he was here, and about a year ago he was here. And now we're just thanking God that he and Jill are with us. And just enter in and keep this attitude of worship just flowing, because Ken is a worshiper, and his music basically is about worship and touching God, and he'll share what's happening as he goes from reservation to reservation and around the area, doing things that just get people tuned into God. God bless
Amen.
You, Ken.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's a tremendous day, and thanks to Kirk and Marty and the worship team for bringing us to a place where we could hear God in such a with a clarion voice, with a very clear voice speaking to us and revealing his goodness, his mercy, and his grace in our lives. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to continue with some songs of worship, and of course, as Pastor noted, there will be an opportunity for me to share as well what God has been doing in and through our lives and through our ministry and so forth. So we are blessed. Jill and I are blessed. This is my wife, Jill. You can just wave your hand real quick, Jill. Praise Him, heavenly host, sun and moon, shining stars. Praise Him, all ye creatures, near and far. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let us praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let us praise the Lord. Praise Him. Let the earth shake, thunder and roar. Praise Him, all ye people, shout forevermore. Praise Him. Sing with me, just a simple word. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let us praise. Let us praise the Lord. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Yeah, 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 yeah. Praise Him. Let us praise the Lord. Sing once again. Praise Him. Him, you are worthy of all our praises. Praise Him, we glorify your name. Praise Him, let us praise the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. Let us praise the Lord. Amen. Let's clap unto Him who's worthy of all praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. Glorify your name. Last night we went out to Clare City and partook of some steaks and salad and good food and conversation and so forth. I alluded to Pastor Dwight that I was hoping to go running this morning. I brought my running clothes with me. And by the way, when I run, I just need to make this really, 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 really clear, because you're all looking at me right now thinking to yourself, he runs. And I'm a slogger. I'm not even proud enough to call myself a jogger anymore. But there was a day in my life when I was fast. I still have the 2-mile record at my high school, some 40 years, almost 40 years later. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I weighed 117 pounds when I graduated from high school. I used to run 90 miles a week back then. So, anyway, I made the note to Pastor Dwight that I was hoping to go running today. And of course, I am of Eskimo descent, by the way. Some of you that might not know, I'm Yupik Eskimo as well as Belgian. I would show you the Belgian half of me, but my sleeves are long in here, so there's, you know, the suntan. It's the Belgian part and the Eskimo part right there. But anyway, so being that it's so cold, it's cold up here compared to Rapid City, and you got this Eskimo, it seems like it is. And so I wanted to go running this morning, or slogging, if you will, and it was just a little too cold for me to go slogging. So, but here's the deal. I still woke up, and Jill knows that I'm a slow riser. I'm a slow burn in the morning. She wakes up, and her feet hit the ground, and she's like singing songs. And for me, I just kind of like work my way into the morning, work my way into the day. That's just me. So in spite of that, though, I, with all the conviction that I can muster up, when I wake up in the morning, even though I don't have like an immediate joyful song coming off my lips like my lovely wife does, I am so grateful for another day. I can't help but thank God for another day. Life is such an amazing gift, and it's something we should never, ever, ever take for granted. We've been given life through the very breath of God, and we are here to live life and to experience everything that God would have for us. We go to reservations, and Pastor Dwight mentioned that, and I'll talk some more about that here shortly. We go to the reservations, and we have 24 hours of worship. We do a time of non-stop worship, a sound of worship being lifted up on tribal lands. And I know that worship has an impact. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. And in Eagle Butte, for a year and a half after we were in Eagle Butte, they had no suicides, which we know. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We heard of no suicides on Eagle Butte for a year and a half. Life is a gift, and it's something we should treasure no matter what struggles we face, no matter what uncertainties we're dealing with, or no matter what situations we find ourselves in where it seems like there's no hope. Church, there is always hope. There is always hope. There is always hope in Jesus. Always. Always. And so I woke up this morning, and I was a definite slow burn because I didn't get to go out and do my morning slog. And when I say slog, let me also clarify that you can walk faster than I run. But at least I'm out there slogging. And hopefully that helps the old ticker out. So I wrote this song in remembrance of the gift of each and every day. And as I share this next song with you, I want you to think about the gift of life. Consider what an amazing day this already is. In spite of what you may be dealing with, in spite of uncertainties or troubles or cares that are resting upon your heart and your life, today is an amazing day. Amen. Woke up this morning, you on my mind. And I'm grateful for another day. Wiping the sleep from my eyes, it's back to the daily grind. But I'm grateful for another day. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, talk with me. Jesus, I invite you into my day. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, talk with me. Jesus, I invite you into my day. Walking through the door into the world with you by my side, and I'm asking you to lead the way. Hey, guide my thoughts and the words I say. May I reflect you in every way. Here am I, Lord, send me out today. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, talk with me. Jesus, I invite you into my day. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, talk with me. Jesus, I invite you into my day. Into my day. Amen. Let's clap unto him who's worthy. Thank you, God. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we do ask that you would come into our day today, that you would invade our lives, that you would reveal your goodness, your mercy, and your grace in ways in which we've never known before. As Kirk noted earlier, God, give us a revelation, a fresh revelation of your love. Give us a fresh revelation of your mercy and your grace. Give us a fresh revelation of who you are in our lives. We thank you for the gift of this time and for all, everything that you are endeavoring to accomplish in and through our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. You are good, and you we can find our treasure. You are good, you give us life abundantly. You are good, and you we can live triumphantly. So I will lift my hands in the sanctuary. I will sing a song of praise. I will bow before you and glorify your name. For you are good, you are good, you are faithful each and every day. You are good, more than words could ever convey. So I will lift my hands in the sanctuary. I will sing a song of praise. I will glorify you and glorify your name. Ha. You are good. So I will lift my hands in the sanctuary. I will sing a song of praise. I will bow before you and glorify your name. For you are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. You are good. Your love is a priceless treasure. Thank you, God. Glorify your name. Been swept away by the measure of your grace. I have been swept away, brought to this holy place, and I bow and I sing holy. And I dance, and I cry, holy. I have been swept away by the depth of your great love. I have been swept away, and I could never love you enough. So I bow and I sing holy, and I dance, and I cry holy. By the beauty of your holiness, I have been swept away, taken by your faithfulness, and I bow and I sing holy, and I dance, and I holy. I have been swept away. I have been swept away. Thank you. God. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing a new song. Give thanks to the Lord, everyone. Give thanks to the Lord. It's a new day. Give thanks to the Lord, always when we pray. For He is worthy, He is worthy, He is worthy of our praise. We were made to soar. Give thanks to the Lord forevermore. For He is worthy. He is worthy. Give thanks to the Lord, everyone. I started playing music when I was 19 years old and knew immediately that I was called to be in a music ministry. I knew the moment I picked up the guitar and started playing on the guitar, I knew right then that I was to be a minstrel for God. And this is something that I have endeavored to do from that point on, is to be someone who articulates God's goodness and His mercy and His grace through music. And I've pursued that with every part of my being. I quit running at that point, and I might have shared that with you last time I was here. Up until that point, I had Olympic aspirations, Olympic dreams. I went to Eastern Michigan University on a track scholarship and was quite speedy back in the day. Not so much anymore, but back in the day. And so the guitar took over my life. Music took over my life. I became someone passionately wanting to worship God from day one through the songs and the music that God imparts into my heart and life. In 1992, May 1st of 1992, my dad passed away. He was 56 years old, suddenly of a heart attack. A year and a half later, my mother passed away, September 30th of 1993. And it was at that point I realized that we're not here forever. And I knew that I had this calling and this desire to be this minstrel for Jesus, but to leave my occupation of 13 years and thrust myself into the unknown was a very scary thing. But I sat down with Jill and I said, if I don't do this now, I don't think I ever will. And meaning that quitting my job and going into the unknown of itinerant ministry, itinerant music ministry, traveling to and fro and ministering in churches and so forth. Her response was not the normal response, I think, because I think a lot of people would ask, wait a second, what are we going to do for money? Hold on. How are we going to live? How is this going to work? Her response is, well, it's about time. Now, when you have someone like that in your life like that, you hold on to them with everything. So Jill is an amazing gift and a huge encouragement and a huge support in my life. And it's not just me standing here. It's both of us. She might not be articulating things as I'm endeavoring to do at this moment, but she's a part of this big time, big time. So God bless those wonderful people that he places in our lives to support us when others might not support you during such times. So I have been traveling to and fro, back and forth throughout this continent. I've been to Haiti 5 times. I've been to Honduras. What does an Eskimo have to do with Haiti? Interesting combination there. Honduras, and have enjoyed the privilege of ministering and sharing God's goodness and his mercy and his grace everywhere I go. And just so happens I get to be at COC today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Something interesting took place last year. And as I was seated here, I felt as though, and as we were in worship, Kirk, as we were kind of heading down this path of God moving and speaking to each and every one of us and revealing his grace and revealing his love to each and every one of us in a way in which we might not have known before, I knew that this is something that I needed to traverse. And it was something that doesn't really line up with what I was planning to do, but that's okay. As ministers of the gospel, as one who goes and ministers in churches, you must, and this is a prerequisite, I believe, you must have the ability to shift gears and go where God wants you to go. And I believe with all my heart, this is what God wants me to share with you today. And it kind of lines up with something I had when I came here last time. Words spoken over us. A pastor friend. This is a pastor friend. Someone whom I've been going to their church for years. And he's known me since the mullet days. I used to have a massive mullet. Anyway, he's known me since that time. And he and I were visiting the last time I was ministering at his church in Wyoming. And he said to me, how old are you, Ken? And I said, I'm 53. And he said, no one wants to see an aging Ken Verhaeghe in concert. No one wants to see an aging Ken Verhaeghe in concert. And of course, we had that nervous laughter that occurs after such a statement. Because I look at myself each and every day in the mirror, and I see the changes that are taking place physically. And I recognize the fact that I'm no longer this spring polar bear. I'm no longer this young person that can go and do crazy things. Even though when we do our 24 hours of worship on reservations, the last time we had our event was in Rosebud just a few weeks ago, and I think I got 2 hours of sleep that during that time. So maybe I am somewhat vital in some ways. But anyway, these words that this pastor uttered to me had an impact. And I don't reveal this kind of thing to too many people. I don't talk about such things because it really makes me look vulnerable. And especially as someone who is a minister of the gospel, who endeavors to live a life passionately for God, and who endeavors to share this message with others. It's hard for me to be this vulnerable and to say that those words that this man spoke to me, this pastor, impacted me in such a way that I was willing to get off the road at the beginning of January of this year. And I even took down my website. And it was also during a time of transition, which God had moved us from one location of fellowship, a church that we had been going to for 13 years. God had spoke to me to plug into a new church. And this is another interesting aspect of what has been transpiring in our lives. A church 5 minutes from my house, a pastor that I've known since the mullet days as well, had invited me to come and play my electric guitar on their worship team whenever I had an off weekend, which occurs occasionally. And this is a church that has cultivated a culture of worship, much like COC has, a culture of worship, where worship is priority number one. It was during one of those visits that God spoke to my heart and said, "This is where I want you to be." And listen, every church that I've ever been to, that I've ever gone to, in terms of where we plant as our home church, has been churches that I've wanted to go to. There's only been two churches that we've ever been to in the life of our ministry. Jill's not a church hopper. I'm not a church hopper. We don't do that. It's not what we're not looking for the next new thing. But God said, "This is where we want you to go." And I have to confess, that was a hard thing to reconcile. And it's still a bit of an adjustment for us. We're still getting used to that, this new place that God has planted us, which is now our home church. But we did so out of obedience. And so as I am going through the beginning of this year, taking my website down, pulling myself from the road because of these words that this pastor spoke over me. Lord, help me with this because I really want to say this with precision. And the Holy Spirit can do this way better than I can, of course. But I believe this is very important for us to hear today. The words that we say to another person can be words that could dismantle their destiny. It could arrest movement forward in their walk with Jesus. And I know that sometimes we say things that we don't really mean to say. And I know that my pastor friend meant no harm when he said that no one wants to see an aging Ken Verhoeke in concert. You know, music is such an interesting thing. I've had the privilege of leading worship at a national event in Nashville for emerging artists, those that are coming up in the Christian music realm of music. And this place was filled with all kinds of hopefuls who hope to one day maybe land a quote-unquote record deal, because this is back in the day when record deals were kind of important. They're not so important anymore, but this is just 10 years ago or so. And they had, after the worship time, and there's hundreds and hundreds of, this hall was just filled with hopefuls. They had a panel of record executives sit behind this table. They had Rocketown Records, Sparrow Records, Myrrh Records, Curb Records, and some other records company. And this was the very first thing that came out of their mouth. They said, if you are here and you're under 21 years old, we're not interested. And you should have heard the hush and the sounds that emitted from that room at that moment. And they said, we're looking for young, hip, new artists. So if you're over 21, we're not interested. Over 21, excuse me. That's quite the statement to hear. And I have no idea how many people quit their dream at that moment. I have no idea who might have just stopped. But I was in utter amazement as I sat in the back. And I thought, how could you say that? For starters, a record deal does not validate you as an artist, first and foremost. God is the one who validates.
Amen.
God is the one who says that I've set you apart for this. But that kind of statement still seeps in. And I am positive without any doubt that those words were still resonating within me when my friend said no one wants to see an aging Ken Verhoeke in concert. So we go to a new church. I take my website down. And I told Jill, I said, we'll just focus on Native Nations Ablaze, which is a wonderful ministry that we're endeavoring to do. Again, let me briefly touch on that for just a moment, a little bit of a rabbit trail. We're going to reservations and we do 24 hours of worship. No agenda, no preaching. And we've even changed it from worship and prayer to just worship, because we've come to realize that the battle belongs to the Lord, first and foremost. The battle belongs to the Lord. And as we go in and we worship for 24 hours, I believe with all my heart, it changes the atmosphere. And there's no room for the enemy to work and to do the things that he does, where suicide runs rampant. Poverty runs rampant, hopelessness runs rampant, disease, diabetes. I mean, there's countless things that Native Americans find themselves dealing with on the reservations. So we go in and we do those 24 hours of worship to change the atmosphere and hopefully inspire them to become a people of worship as well. And listen, these are not like largely attended events. But there's been two occasions where I met one man. His name was Ralph in Rosebud. This is just a couple years ago. He stayed the whole entire 24 hours. And we have a community worship and prayer and gathering event that happens directly after these 24 hours of worship. And I went up to Ralph and I said, Ralph, have you gone home yet? Because every time I'd walk by Ralph, he had this big old smile on his face. And he would just grab me and hug me. And he would say, thank you for doing this. And of course, that just humbles me to no end. But I said to Ralph, have you gone home yet? Have you had a chance to rest? And he looked at me and he said, no. And I said, then why are you staying? What's keeping you here? And he says, I'm making a stand for my people. One man. Again, they might not be large attended events, but here's one man. He says, I'm going to stand for my people and pray for them and worship the one true creator. And that's happened on two occasions. Another gentleman in Pine Ridge in Oglala. His name is Daniel. He stayed the whole time, never left. And I asked him the same question, and he responded with the exact same words, I'm making a stand for my people. So that is a ministry that we've endeavored to do. And I told Jill, I said, I'm just going to stick with that. I'm not going to worry about going to churches and ministering in churches. And we're just going to go to the reservations, which we will be doing that in the future. Around spring, early spring, I received a phone call from a dear pastor friend in Leavenworth. The church that he pastors is a church that I've been going to for 17 years. And he called me up and he said, Brother Ken, I went to your website and it's not there. And I went to go look and see if we can find a spot to invite you to come. And then he says, are you okay? And he said, well, you know, I just took it down and I didn't quite share with them completely the reasons that I had taken my site down. But I said, I just kind of, you know, I'm not on the road that much right now. And you could tell in his responses that there was such remorse in his voice. And he said, I just have this feeling that there's something not quite right. And that's why I asked if you're okay. I just want you to know, and this is what he says, I just want you to know that you have no idea the impact that you have had on the life of our church. And we look forward every year for you to come and share what God is doing in your life, and of course, share what God wants you to say to us directly during your visits. I hope that you will come because we want you to come. And I sat there on the other end of the phone and I had never heard those words before. You have no idea the impact that you've had on the life of our church. And so I told him, I said, let me just kind of think about sometimes that I might be able to come down and visit. And we had a wonderful conversation, hung up the phone. 2 days later, I received a phone call from a pastor in Wyoming asking the same thing. Ken, is your website down? Is there something wrong? Because I went there to look and see if we could invite you to come this year, see when you had some openings, we want you to come. And, of course, I kind of shared with them, I'm not trying to do too much right now, and blah, 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 blah. And he says the exact same things. You have no idea the impact that you've had on our church. And so these two pastors broke something inside of me that I realized that it's not an age thing. It's not an age thing. It's not an age thing. And so I sat down with Jill and I said, I got to get back. And slowly but surely, our calendar started filling up again. And God began to speak to me through that again about the power of words and how they can impact people's lives. The things that we say to each other, the things that we say to our spouses, the things that we say to our children can have such an impact on their lives. And I believe it's so important that we season our speech with God's goodness, His mercy, and His grace when we speak to each other, that we highly esteem one another, and that we speak good things, and we speak destiny over each other. But I'm so grateful for this as well. Psalm 71, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this passage, because I think this is what God wants to articulate far better than myself, His word. The psalmist writes in verse 1, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may continually resort. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O God. You are my trust from my youth." From my youth. I received Jesus into my heart and life when I was 13 years old. He is my trust, and I want Him to be my trust from that moment on till I draw my last breath. "By you I have been upheld from birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be of you. I have become as a wonder to many." In spite of what someone might say to you, in spite of what words have been spoken over you, even today or throughout this last week or throughout the last few months or throughout the last few years, maybe something has been spoken over you since you were a child and it has disrupted your destiny, I want you to say that you will become a wonder to many. You are meant to become a wonder to many. And I believe that over the reservations as well, over the native people. You will become a wonder to many. And I speak that over the Sisseton-Wahpeton Reservation even now. The people and those who reside on that land, you will become a wonder to many. A wonder to many. "But you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age." Some of us here might feel like we're aging. I love what Pastor Dwight, when he introduced me, he says, "This young man right here..." Some of you might be feeling age, and some of you who are even in your teens might be thinking to yourself, "Man, I'm even old now." I don't know, maybe not. But God will not cast us off in the time of old age. There are things that still need to be accomplished in the kingdom. In spite of what anyone says, in spite of what any record label executive says, "Do not forsake me when my strength fails." Some of you might feel like you're losing your strength as you're getting older. You're not what you used to be. "I'm a slogger." But God will not forsake us. "For my enemies speak against me." There are people in your lives that God is using to speak against you. Excuse me, that the enemy is using to speak against you. Forgive me. God is not using them to speak against you. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life, to take my life, take counsel together, saying, "God has forsaken him. Pursue him and take him, for there is none to deliver him." God will always be there. He will always be there to deliver you. Always. "Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh God, make haste. to help me. Let them be confounded and confused who are adversaries in my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Ha. We will proceed with the strength of God. We will proceed forward in the things that He has destined for us. In our destinies, we will proceed. You have a destiny to proceed to. You have a destiny that God has ordained that you need to proceed to walk towards, to get accomplished, and to celebrate in that destiny. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. And now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. I am getting older. Some of us are getting older. Some of us are getting older in the faith. And maybe you might feel not relevant, but let me make this very clear. And it doesn't matter if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever, or 30, 20, 18, whatever, you are relevant when you walk in the calling that God has placed in your life. You are relevant when you proceed in the calling that He's established for you since before you were birthed, before you were born. You have a destiny. Oh God, help me. Help me, help me, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I love this passage right here in 18 because this is so important for us to even say to ourselves. Now, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. My time is not going to be done. Your time is not going to be done until you declare to this generation the wondrous works of God or whatever it is that God has called you to do. COC has a destiny in Jesus. And you who reside here, you who fellowship here, you have a destiny to walk in spite of what the enemy says. There is a responsibility to declare God's goodness to a generation. I love that Pastor Dwight and Kirk have been together for so long. Dwight, you've invested into his life. To that generation. And you're seeing it whenever he leads worship, whenever he and Marty lead worship. That's an investment that makes a difference. That's an investment that changes things. We have things that we need to accomplish. All of us, every person in this place, you have a destination in Christ and a destiny in Him. And we have the privilege to take what it is that God has imparted into our lives and to pass it on into another generation, to declare His wonders, to speak of His goodness, His mercy, and His grace, and to allow them to grow and be who God has called them to be. Oh God, so when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, oh God, is very high. You who have done great things, oh Lord, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles, and we all experience that in our lives from time to time, times of uncertainty, times of questions. My brother, you lost your mother. I'm sure this hasn't been the most wonderful time in your life, but it's wonderful in the sense that she is with Jesus. I'm sure she's with Jesus. I pray and hope that she is, and that she knew Christ. In the midst of uncertainties, in the midst of questions, in the midst of all these things that we find ourselves dealing with from time to time in life, God is faithful to be with us. You have shown me great and severe troubles, yet you shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. God is going to comfort you on every side. Any one of us here this morning that's dealing with uncertainty in your life or pain or frustration, God is going to comfort you on every side. Also with the lute, these days it's a guitar. With my guitar, I'll just use that phrase, I will praise you and your faithfulness, O God. To you I will sing with the harp. O Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, those who brought shame, those who seek my hurt. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. And one of those things is the destiny that we have in Christ Jesus. Words have impact. But if we choose to walk in Him and choose to be obedient and to seek after Him with all our heart, with all our life, with all our being, God will find a way to speak to us and reveal His goodness, His mercy, and His grace in such a way that allows us to get back on track. And I love what Pastor Dwight said this morning, that God, you love us, you love us, you love us, and when we make mistakes, you'll get us back on track. I have no idea what might have been spoken over you since you were a child, or even in your adult years, or even just recently. But I believe, and I've done my best, and not the greatest, but I've done my best today to be that voice that says, you have a destiny in Jesus. You have a destination and a destiny in Jesus. And no matter what anyone says, God is the one who defines who we are. God defines that. And there's someone here today that I just heard this in my spirit. You've been told that you have X amount of days to live. And I'm supposed to say this to whoever that is. God numbers your days, not man. Amen. Man does not number your days, whoever that is. Man does not number your days. God numbers your days. You have a destiny in Christ. And it's time to walk in that destiny. And it's time to raise up and be who God has called you to be.